Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here. Closer and closer to Christmas, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. We have some interesting stuff planned for Christmas here coming next week and then for New Year's. I mean, it's kind of funny that we have Christmas Day and New Year's Day on our release schedule. So, you know, we can take the week off.
Too. You know, Thanksgiving is always on our release schedule, but, you know.
Kind of. Well, I'm on a Thursday. It's a Thursday, so that's how that works. But, yeah, no, this year we've got some major holidays going on our release schedule, and rather than doing, like, a, you know, a topic kind of a thing, we have some special stuff planned for you guys, and hope you guys enjoy it.
And I'll be honest, you know, we're doing this not just because, you know, you guys are busy with your family and such, and it's great, but we are too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
obviously, we're not recording on Christmas Eve to make our Christmas Day episode.
That would just be silliness. We would never do that, probably.
I mean, we are probably still going to be drinking on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and Christmas New Year's.
I have a funny feeling that we're going to be drinking for almost a solid week between the two.
I mean, how many in-laws do I have to deal with during that week? I mean, that's gonna at least determine volume, right?
Okay. But next time when I come back, man, I'm going to bring some of my boar's blood.
Yes.
I got from
Sean
in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I got his boar's blood mix a while back, and I finally got a chance to make some, and it's aged out nicely. When I was balancing it,
mm-hmm.
It's lovely. It's very much. I'm looking forward to you trying that.
Great.
I also got a sweet apple mead.
Hmm. Okay.
Sweet spiced apple mead.
Nice. Nice. So, as usual, we need to thank our listeners. You guys are, every week you're tuning in. We're getting messages from you guys on, like last week we talked about, we got a lot of traction on the Polish Mead episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fun hearing from you guys. I'm hearing what you guys are up to. I enjoy getting a little touchstone from our listenership and getting to hear from you guys. And I know, like I said, I get to see the stats. Not that the stats are always accurate, but, you know, I see more and more people are tuning in week after week. It's always gratifying to see that, you know, you're tuning in, you're coming back, and you're ostensibly getting something out of this.
Yeah.
Enjoying this with us.
I'm glad you're doing this.
We enjoy doing this, and we
enjoy the company.
Yeah. It's so much better to know that, you know, there are other people than the two of us just, you know, listening to us chatter back and forth.
Speaking into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our wives roll their eyes at us enough. Thank you guys. Appreciate you doing this.
Yeah. It's nice to have other people to roll their eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but, you know, I don't think my wife has any reason to complain. She gets booze out of this. She gets meat out of this. Be happy.
It is. That's true. And hey, the other people we need to thank are Fox and Barleycorn. They are coming back next year to sponsor us again, which is gratifying in and of itself. But they are a great resource for the homebrew community in general. They have so much for your homebrew needs, whether you're interested in mead alone, or beer or cider or wine, whether you're
cheese, yogurt, kombucha. Come on, guys.
Yeah,
list goes on.
Koji and all kinds of weird stuff like that. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it is. And if they don't have it actually in their store right now, they know where to get it.
Yeah.
You know, work with them.
Do you need ingredients? Do you need advice? Do you need equipment? They've got it all. Like Chris said, if they don't have it right on hand, they know how to get it. A fantastic resource. They have been I think they're going on like 58 years now, because
yeah,
we're pretty close to the new year. They are a fantastic resource. I enjoy working with them. I'm really glad that they're working with us next year. So, yeah, if you need anything from them, whether it's ingredients, whether it's equipment, whether it's, you know, supplies or chemicals or what have you.
And if you use our code MHP10.
You got it.
Yes. I'm so nervous since that time I messed up a few weeks ago. Anyway, MHP10, you can get 10% off your online order. And it lets them know that you're all listening to us and they're actually made a good investment with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Bacchus, for sponsoring us, and hope you guys get to use the code and get some decent deals.
Yeah.
Bacchus, everybody wins there.
And we said this a while back. We haven't mentioned a couple of weeks that I'm aware of. We were talking about doing a video of how to put meads together on, mm-hmm. so you can actually see us both working on something. If you want that, send us at info@meadhouse.com and say, yeah, I'd like to see that so I can see what you guys do. Glad to do it. But if you have no interest at all, it's just one thing off our plate, to be honest, guys.
Sure.
We have lives.
You know, and the other thing we need to mention, though, is for the holiday season and, you know, listenership and things like that, we have our giveaway.
And it's getting close.
Yeah, we are just a week away, literally.
When from doing the drawing.
You know, I was going to say a week and a half, but no, by the time this gets released, it will be literally a week from Christmas. So,
yeah.
You guys still have some time, if you're listening to this, to hear, or to enter. We are giving away a copy of The Complete Mead Maker by Ken Schramm and a copy of The Flavor Bible. To enter, all you need to do is send an email to info@themeadhouse.com. Put Ken in the subject line for Ken Schramm's Complete Mead Maker. Put
Flavor
in the subject line for The Flavor Bible. That's it. And if you want to enter both, just send us two emails.
Yes, it's quick and easy. And we will pay for, you know, you're getting this 100% free. We'll pay for shipping. We'll pay wherever the winner is, we'll ship it to them directly.
Worldwide. It may take us a little bit to get through the mail, but we will get it to you.
Yeah. But we are absolutely committed to giving you a little bit of information out there to make your job a little easier and make your mead better.
Absolutely. So, mead of the day.
Mead of the day is actually mine. I mean, I brought my apple pie mead.
Mm-hmm.
Something I had a good first run, and this is now it's aged out just over a year now.
Yeah.
So it's a 14.5% percent, and I'm really proud of it. Last time I had it, it was really good, and so here we go. Now it doesn't have the red color like we had in one last week, but it's got a lovely apple pie amber.
Oh yeah, this is a neat, nice, I would say medium, maybe even bordering on dark amber. And oh yeah, those pie spices are right there. This is the season for that, man. Yeah, those warm pie spices.
Absolutely, these are brought today. Oh, it's got that clove and the cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Clove and cinnamon are really up front on the smell.
It's also got the nutmeg in there, mm-hmm. and it has a hint of ginger in. I put a very, very small amount of ginger in the mix.
Yeah, and the cinnamon is kind of the dominant one on top of the apple and the honey. You get a good amount of the honey to it. It's not getting dwarfed by all the other flavors going on here. But the nutmeg and clove are kind of rounding out that flavor profile too. It's real nice.
Oh, it's got that spice bite in it, right? Mm-hmm. The first,
that's yeah, the nice little tingle. I get it like right after the swallow on the tip of my tongue. I get that spice. No, that's very nice.
Yeah, this is aged really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy with it.
So, Chris,
yeah,
you're functionally retired right now. Okay. You have your
50 million hobbies, but that's about it.
Well, yeah. I know you're trying to do things with those and make those more of a less of a side hustle and more of just a, I don't know if you would call it a career kind of a thing, but you've got ambitions.
Yeah, I've got ambitions. Well, you know, and honestly, I'm just having fun. I mean, you know, what can I mean, now that I have a little bit of time, yeah, you know, very little on my plate, what can I do that I've avoided doing all this time?
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that.
You're lucky in that regard because I am still working. And one of the things that I'm not going to mention my employer by name, but they are one of these companies that is very heavily into the whole AI infrastructure, as some people are calling it, AI bubble. And one of the things that keeps coming up in my, you know, meetings with a manager and the department chairs and things like that is we need to work on AI in our workflow. We need to use AI in our workflow.
And I'll be honest, a few people come to me and said, hey, have you ever thought of getting recipes from AI? After my heart recovered from that horrible blow it ensued from me, I'm not saying AI cannot give me ideas.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, Jeff brought this up not long ago, and he goes, well, why don't we do that? And I'm sitting here. So we asked AI.
We asked AI to give us some recipes. We have some prompts that we gave, and we tried four different AI sources. Now, I will freely admit the notion of using these like ChatGPT and other like large language model AI things in my workflow in general makes me feel like a little bit of a Luddite. I don't want to do it.
Neither do I.
By the same token, I wanted to give this a fair shake. I didn't want to like intentionally disadvantage AI. I tried to make this fair, but to test the extent of how usable it is. Because I don't want to...
We want to give it an honest evaluation.
Right.
This.
And I think... So we have four different prompts. We fed those into four different large language models.
Yes.
The large language models we used were ChatGPT, DeepSeek,
mm-hmm.
we used Grok, and we used Claude, which is from Anthropic.
That was DeepSeek?
DeepSeek.
Yeah.
That was the second one we mentioned. So we started pretty simple with
these. Yeah.
And I think what we're going to do, we will talk about the prompt we gave it, and then we'll just go through the responses and kind of grade them.
Yeah, because can AI give you an idea for a meme? Yes. AI is also, like every other computer out there, a mathematical program, which art doesn't follow math necessarily. It has math involved, but it doesn't follow math because that's not what it does.
So we're going to look at what advice it gives us, what we're going to look at what information it gives us, how good that is, and whether this is actually useful for people. Like, maybe this is useful for people just starting out as mead makers. Maybe this is useful for mead makers in general. And I think we'll kind of just go through this and give it a grade. So the first thing that I suggested we do for all of these is a basic prompt of give me a recipe for a cherry mead.
Yeah. Now, the first thing we didn't tell it to do was give us a schedule. I had to go back and put that in. So, but the first thing we got was a cherry mead prompt.
Right. And so for ChatGPT, we get a 1 gallon recipe for plus full schedule for cherry mead. Ingredients for 1 gallon: fruit, 3 to 4 pounds of cherries, fresh or frozen. Frozen is ideal. Tart cherries equal bright and tangy. Sweet cherries equal smoother, dessert-like.
Okay, just stopping there. That's not wrong, except I'd want more cherry.
I would want more fruit than that. I think 4 is a good start,
Four is not
maybe
a bad,
5.
for a 1 gallon batch, 4 to 5 is not horrible. But remember, we have said before, you cannot overfruit my mead.
Yeah, and I think it's I would also want more fruit. Now, the direction as far as tart is bright and tangy, sweet is smoother and dessert-like, maybe
Maybe.
correct.
Yeah,
Like
but it also depends how what yeast you're using and how you're handling it afterwards.
Sweet cherries can be a little bit more cloyingly sweet, and there is a reputation for making a like a cough syrup style.
The problem with sweet cherries is they have more sugar, therefore the sugar is going to eat, and then you're going to get a drier mead.
The fact is they're sweet to the detriment of other flavor profile stuff.
Exactly.
So, the next thing it says, honey, 3 pounds wildflower honey. Adjust sweetness. 2.5 pounds equals drier. 3.5 pounds equals sweeter. And this is, I've seen this kind of guidance repeated time and time again. You guys know if you've listened to, stuff or you've seen my basic recipes, I dialed in by gravity.
Yeah, and this is fundamentally incorrect because the more sugar you have in there, the drier you're going to make it if you let it go to completion.
Right. Now, the basic guidance here does depend on the type of
Yeast.
yeast you're using, and we'll see next that, is 3.5 pounds going to yield you a sweeter finished product because it has more,
Sugar?
more residual sugar in the mix? Maybe,
Maybe.
maybe not.
Probably. I'd say probably not.
Because next we're going to yeast,
Yeah.
and the yeast it recommends, Lavvan 71B 1122, best for fruit heavy meats.
Yeah,
Great.
and that's actually what we use.
That
We use Lavin 71B.
71B is one of my workhorses.
Yeah.
It's the if I just need a generic, yeast to make a mead with,
I'll
it's
only
up
reach
there
for
on my go-to.
71B is my go-to as well. I mean, that is the if I'll reach for it first, unless I specifically tell myself reach for a different.
The other thing it says here is or EC1118 for a high or for a dry high alcohol ferment. And let's emphasize dry. Because if you throw 3.5 pounds of honey generally into a
One
mead,
gallon container.
and you use EC1118, you're probably going to ferment all that out to alcohol.
Yeah, you'll
You're
get a.
not going
If
to
I was
finish
to
sweet.
guess, I think you'd get like a 14, 16% alcohol rating in there pretty quick.
No, you would probably. There
That's a
are
guess.
so many factors involved with like how sugary the honey is and all that that. Are we going to end up with a dry mead? Probably, but it's hard to say. You're probably not going to have very much residual sugar
No, you'll
with
have very little,
EC1118.
but we'll get to that part later. Now, here's where I could feel when I called Jeff about this, I could feel him cringe online when he read this part. You need yeast, staggered nutrients,
Tosin style.
Tosa style, not bad at all. 1 1/4 grams of Ferment O or a half teaspoon of Ferment K.
Okay, this annoys me. For one, 1.25 grams of Ferment O is not very much.
No, it's not.
And is that enough for the full amount? Tosin style will say, hey, stagger that.
Yeah.
And
How much are you going to stagger that? It's not much.
are you, is that 1.25 grams total, or is that per staggered edition? They're not clear on that.
It didn't say.
And then you get to our preference for Made K, and they give you a volume measurement instead of a weight measurement.
Which,
And
come on,
now,
pick a line.
the problem with this is that if you're not storing it in like a screw top jar or something that is relatively airtight, you can get, it's worse for Fermate O than it is for Fermate K. You can get a moisture from the air intrusion that will cause it to kind of solid up, and that will kind of screw up your weight for Fermate O, for one. It also makes it a little less like accessible for using a volume measurement, but volume measurement is not my preference. It's a very, if you go to grab my little pack of Fermate K that I just bought from Bacchus the other day there.
There you go.
The instructions on it will literally say 1.5 teaspoons per 5 gallons of wine added 10 to 12 hours after pitching yeast, and another addition after depletion of one third of the sugar in the must, is the directions they give you. The basic instructions are by volume. I don't like to use that because I like to tailor the amount of nutrient I'm using to how much gravity I'm trying to turn into alcohol, right? That way it's not like leftover stuff. And I know I have enough to get the sugar to alcohol. I'm not underpitching either, as
Yeah.
far as the nutrient goes. The
And I'll be honest, one of my weaker areas is trying to figure out how much to put in for nutrients.
I will. I have a formula that I use based on TOSNA 2.0. TOSNA 3.0 is the current most advanced one, but Sergio keeps that behind a paywall. So I just
We're on
keep.
2.0.
I like 2.0, and 2.0 has yielded nothing but good results for me. So, do I need to go to the upgrade? Nah.
Okay, now the here comes the cringe part. Or optional, 4 to 6 raisins for natural nutrient support. We've all gone through this.
I'm not.
We have we both have I we both know one guy who successfully uses raisins in making a traditional mead. One.
Now.
He's the only one that does it. And he does it well, don't get us wrong. Comma, if you want a raisin flavored mead, use raisins, and that's not enough.
That's not enough. That's
If you
four to
want,
six raisins is not enough nutrient, even if you were getting any nutrient of it.
yeah, and but you're not getting nutrient out of it anyway.
You're not getting flavor. There's no reason to put new raisins in this unless you like to see little floaties in your meat. If that's your how you're getting kicks, I guess you can put raisins in, but that's not going to help anything at all. That's not going to do anything for you.
No,
This
I
makes me
cannot.
mad.
Yeah, that actually, I'll be honest, that made me a little bit mad because that's blatantly wrong.
Yeah, this is okay. Other additions. Let's move on past our rage.
Yes.
Other optional additions. Half a teaspoon pectin enzyme helps clear.
Yeah, not enough.
It
It's not
does help
enough.
clear. It's not enough to, if you're using whole fruit cherries, it's not
It's not going
gonna,
to be enough.
no. And where's my little thing of pectin enzyme here?
Yep, if you hadn't guessed already, we have meat stuff all around us right now.
The fun part about working in my half teaspoon per gallon of wine is the
It's
recommended amount.
on the bottom.
But as I've said before, hey, if you have a fruit mead and it's not clearing,
Add more.
right, I've added another dose of pectic enzyme a time or two, and that's been what it takes to start clearing. And then I, polish it off with the super clear, the dual fine
Dual
is
fine,
what they're
yeah.
calling it now.
Now, actually, when I made my wild plum mead, I said mine is murky still, and I put in over 2.5 grams initially. It was still murky as all get out. Jeff said, "Do it again,"
Double dose it.
and I did, and yeah, it cleared up. It's much better now.
The other another optional, one vanilla bean or vanilla extract softens cherry acidity.
I didn't tell you how much vanilla extract.
It does soften the cherry acidity, kind of. It balances it more. It gives it another little flavor note. It's not
And one vanilla bean,
wrong.
yeah, that'd be enough, but that's not what we asked for. We
Right,
asked for a
yeah.
cherry mead.
Lemon zest or splash of lemon juice to brighten the flavor.
Again, how much?
This is by taste.
Yeah.
This is a finishing step kind of thing, obviously. It's not wrong. Some acid can brighten the mead if it's lacking that, especially if you take the sweet cherry approach instead of a tart cherry approach.
Yeah. But your tart cherry should be enough to make it bright enough.
Yeah. Water, filtered or spring water to fill a 1 gallon total bottle.
The short answer to that is not filtered, spring. It makes a difference. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to use filtered water, you have to account for the chlorine and chloramine of tap water. Your filter, like a Brita pitcher filter, will not
Will
do it.
not do it.
No.
And if you're going to use filtered water, you want to reverse osmosis water. That's the best you're going to get. Public
That's,
in public.
yeah. And at that point, you almost want to add more stuff to it,
Yeah.
like some calcium, some potassium, or gypsum, something like that.
Just to brighten the water itself.
Right. It needs minerality to it, at the very least, some calcium of some kind. That's gonna do so much for your flavor and the texture of the water,
Yeah, I mean,
and the finished product mead.
it makes a world of difference. So the answer to that is not filtered. Use spring water.
Just by spring water.
Just spring water.
Just by spring water.
It, when it comes to the water content, you're paying a lot of money for honey. Don't chintz out on your water. Do it right.
Required equipment: 1 gallon glass carboy or bucket, airlock and bung,
Yes.
siphon, mesh bag for fruit, optional but helpful, sanitizer (parentheses star sand).
Yeah.
All this is
Accurate.
correct.
Yeah. Except if it's missing something. Hydrometer.
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah, at the very least a hydrometer.
But again, we're doing volume measurements of honey and not
Yeah, well.
measuring to it gravity.
But
So,
you also need something to stir with. You need a thief so you don't contaminate your batch while it's when you're tasting. You need more. And it's
This recipe is very, the recipe we got is very clearly geared to somebody that is new to mead making and is trying to emphasize minimal equipment purchase.
Yeah.
And hydrometer is not minimal equipment purchase. It's not optional. Just get a hydrometer, learn
Okay.
how to use it.
Yeah. In shows past, we tested my son's mead. The only reason I had measurements is because I took them. My son didn't want to. I said, "What if you make a really good one, Ron? What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'll either have to keep experimenting." I said, "Yeah, for the rest of your life, or you can take my measurements I took for you." He goes, "That would make it easier." It would make it
It would
easier.
make it easier.
Yeah.
Recipe instructions. Day zero. Must preparation. Sanitize everything. Okay. Crush or lightly mash the cherries. Okay. Add cherries to the fermenter or a sanitized mesh bag.
That's not an option. Use the bag,
Use
guys.
the bag. It's.
Believe me when I tell you do not want to leave the stuff floating because you have to take it out eventually and you want to.
And realistically, let's see what they say about this. Warm the honey in a container in hot water. Do not boil. Okay. I
Fair,
mean,
yeah.
add honey to the fermenter and dissolve with warm water. Really helps to stir that, but at a gallon, I guess you could shake it or whatever. Add yeast nutrients, first dose only. I don't necessarily agree, but we'll get to that. Pectic enzyme, optional.
Not optional.
Use that. Use
Use that.
that. Top up with water to just below the neck of the carboy.
No, not that high yet. You have no room to add or subtract. You have no room to add anything at this point if you go to the bottom of the neck of the carboy. You need a little space. You can
You need
always
some
fill up a little
space.
bit at the end, but you can't take it out.
Aerate by shaking 30 to 60 seconds.
Yeah, okay, that's stirring effectively.
You could pick it up and shake it. We're talking about a gallon
It's
batch.
gallon. It's fine.
I mean, is that really aeration, though? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe in the first edition, when you're doing that, you have some oxygen in the little bit of air at the top of that
The
carboy.
neck. Yeah, no.
That you're adding the oxygen back to the must. Beyond that, you're
Get
not.
yourself a stirrer, a silicone, plastic, whatever stirrer, not wood.
I've used a glass stir rod
Glass stirrer
on the
rod,
laboratory
metal
equipment that I
stirrer
liked.
rod, silicone, plastic stirrer
As
rod.
long as you can sanitize it.
Yeah, and stir it up.
I've also used the like a plastic stir spoon that literally we used to stir Kool-Aid with it for my kid.
Yeah.
And then I just turn it over, sanitize the plastic handle, and use that. That works too.
Whatever it takes, shaking it doesn't do enough, okay, guys? Plus when you're stirring, you can feel the honey melting by how thick it is at the bottom,
Right.
and you know you're getting it mixed. Don't skip that.
Pitch the yeast. Rehydrate yeast if instructions suggest, or sprinkle dry.
We could go to another show on the sprinkle or the rehydrate first thing. We both hydrate first.
Attach the airlock. Expect fermentation within 12 to 24 hours.
Maybe. Maybe.
I would say within 48.
Yeah. But here's where the math of a computer starts failing you. Because they say this thing happens at this kind of schedule. No, this is an art. It couldn't care less about your calendar.
Stagger nutrient schedule, TOSNA style. So we're getting into styles now and not following actual TOSNA, but okay, fine. Add one quarter of your nutrients on day zero. I usually wait until I see airlock activity to know that the colony is going, right? But then I'll also add GoFirm for anything above like 1080 for my my nutrient or my yeast health. So they've got some nutrient to chew on in the first place. Day one, add another quarter and shake slash aerate. First, if you're using Fermate O, we use Fermate K. If you're using Fermate O,
that's a lot.
Degas first.
Yeah,
because
please do.
That's a very fine powder, and you get an F ton of nucleation sites. If you have a lot of dissolved CO2, your Fermate O will make a meat cano out of your carboy.
And believe me, when you're getting a lot of CO2 out of it, the last thing you would do is add more to cause more and get it shaking.
I've gotten mead canos from Fermate K, Fermate O, every time I've had to very, very thoroughly degas, usually with like a power drill and the stirrer thing, before I add Fermate O.
I almost had a mead cano with a banana meat I made. I had the second dose of Fermate K. And I was stirring so fast to keep from overflowing out of my bucket, which had 2.5 inches at the top of space, and I almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
And I was stirring for a good 10, 15 minutes. I was hurting.
No, I have ruined towels on blackberry meads that just overfilled. Day two, add another quarter and shake slash aerate. See what we said last time. Day three, add the last quarter and shake slash aerate. After day three, stop aerating. You don't want oxidization past the early phase.
These are the whole thing is fundamentally flawed. First of all, you don't add your nutrients on a calendar schedule.
You do to an extent. Generally, TOSNA will say, hey, 24 hours after airlock activity, add your first batch. 48 hours. Add your next batch. 72 hours, add your next batch. Then that last batch, they say, when you hit the one-third sugar break. Now, sometimes that happens before day three. Sometimes that happens like 5 days later. You just kind of, you don't want too much in there too soon. So you let that last batch sit. What I take bigger issue with, though, is the stop aerating after day three. I say degas twice a day, if you can, once a day at least, for the first week.
Yeah.
That CO2 buildup, if the CO2 is not released, you get carbonic acid. The CO2 binds with the water to make carbonic acid, and that lowers your pH, that slows down, if not, kind of stalls, your fermentation. Your life is so much easier if you just remember to degas once a day.
Now, if you take the aspect of not putting your cherries in a bag and you're letting them flow the top, they are capping your CO2 at the bottom. They are keep preventing that to gas. You've got to stir it as much as you can.
Right. Well, and if you don't push them down, punch down the cap, as they say, the cherries at the very top also risk... Excuse me. They also risk being a vector for mold.
Mold, and anything else you don't want in your meat in the first place.
Exactly. So, you know, I really like the idea of using a bag, and not only using a bag, but weighing it down with some, like...
glass marbles. I use glass marbles. Dragon tears.
Yeah, they're dead cheap. They're easy. They're easy to sanitize. If you want to go real crazy, you could get stainless steel ball bearings and do the same thing, but that's just way more expensive.
Yeah, just get, you know, go to your local dollar store. Mm-hmm. Get some glass decorative beads, like little drops of glass. They, you know, look, Renaissance fairs call them dragon tears.
Yeah, you find those in like the floral section for like.
Or any of the decorative glass beads. Mm-hmm. Put a handful in the bottom of your bag so it sinks.
Yeah.
This is going to help you with your degassing simply because there's nothing above the gas to cause it to be capped. And your fruit is completely submerged.
Right. So
the
you don't have
risk
to,
is gone.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about that as a vector for further contamination. So primary fermentation.
Here's where I have a small gripe. Go for it.
Days 1 to 21-ish.
Yeah.
Fermentation will be strong and fruity. Signs to watch. Cherries float to the top. Parentheses, end quotations, fruit cap. Bubbling is frequent. Color turns deep red. By day 10 to 14, fruit usually begins to sink. By day 14 to 21, fermentation slows down to one bubble every 20 to 30 seconds. Gravity around 1.10 to 1.20, 1.020, depends on the honey amount. How do we know? Yeah, you didn't tell us to get a hydrometer.
They never said hydrometer anywhere in this up to this point. Now they want you to take a gravity.
Also, one bubble every 20 to 30 seconds. We're using that as our metric, which is the only thing your airlock activity is useful for initially is to know that the yeast is working.
Yeah, and then keep bugs out.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. A bubble every 20 to 30 seconds is stupid.
The problem I had that I brought up when we started this part of it, days 21 to almost to around 20, day 1 to almost 21, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, yeast is not going to go on your schedule. It's going to go where there's sugar and time and a little bit of oxygen and ability to eat and make carbon dioxide.
Right.
And so many things attribute to this. The temperature of the ambient air, the light, you know, everything affects the yeast.
Right.
At this point. So
the type of yeast you're using, the extra ingredients you're adding. Yeah. I mean, there are so many different vectors and changes that can throw this whole roughly 21 days idea just right out the window.
Yeah, and then fruit usually begins to sink by day 10 to 14.
No, darn.
No, really? You sure?
Depends on the fruit.
Really?
Depends on a lot of different factors.
Come on.
No.
But that doesn't work like that. And day 14 to 21, fermentation begins to slow down. Again, maybe. I mean, do yourself a favor. Start with a hydrometer to start with. Stir regularly for the first week or so at least.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in a bag and weight it down so it's nothing's stopping the gas from getting out in the first place.
All right. Next part, because this is running a little long.
Yeah.
Racking to secondary around day 21, when activity slows significantly, siphon mead off of the cherries and sediment into a clean carboy. If you want a stronger cherry flavor, add 1 extra pound of cherries or add 8 ounces of cherry juice concentrate. Leave 1 inch of headspace at top. Secondary lasts 3 to 6 weeks.
Really? You sure?
That seems short for secondary.
It seems really short for secondary. And the fact is, you want to start a cherry flavor, you're adding more sugar.
Yeah.
You're just going to start the whole process over again.
Well, and we've seen from, you know, we talked about that video a few weeks back that Garrett from Man Made Meat did, where he adds stuff in secondary. And his was really more of a, you know, kind of a finish thing than a secondary thing. But still, yeah, you're going to get fermentation kicked back up. Oh, that's not apple pie.
Oh, I grabbed the wrong bottle. My gosh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this hasn't gotten bad over the week, but we're getting a multi-fruit mix now. Oh, well.
Not as good, but well, I'll get apple pie back in a minute.
We'll figure it out. A little fruit punch mead. Anyway, this is probably better for, you know, before bottling, back sweetening step than a secondary.
And after you kill the yeast.
Right. You can certainly add, and you will get more cherry flavor, the same as you would get from in primary at this point. It's just, you know, a little.
And did you notice anything that didn't happen here? They've never killed the yeast.
Well, this is still secondary.
Yeah.
Secondary lasts 3 to 6 weeks. Secondary fermentation, weeks 3 to 8. During this time, the mead will clarify, drop more sediment, smooth out in flavor. It's not wrong. I think it's probably more than 8 weeks, but that's my experience.
Maybe get lucky.
Taste every 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah. Every 1 to 2 days. I want a better forecast of when I'm going to stop.
Fair. 1 to 2 weeks seems a little on the far side. 1 to 2 days seems a little on the near side. I would split the difference at least once a week, if not, you know, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my go-to. If it's too tart, add a bit more honey later after stabilizing. At least they mentioned after stabilizing.
Yeah.
If too sweet, leave it as is or blend in a dry mead later. Thanks.
What? You're making a mead and you're gonna get another mead to add to it for a blend?
Now you have to. Okay, well, thanks, ChatGPT. How do I make a dry mead?
Yeah.
Okay. Bottling, 6 to 8 weeks later. Bottle when clear, no new sediment forming, no bubbling in the airlock for 7 days. So you're going to stare at your airlock for 7 days.
Yeah.
Be on the safe side.
Use a camera. You can use a time lapse. That's a great idea there. No.
Optional before bottling, back sweeten with honey. Okay. Add vanilla for cherry pie flavor. Add oak for complexity.
How much oak? What kind of oak?
Sweet meads must be stabilized chemically, K-Meta plus K-Sorbate, before back sweetening. Now, they don't tell us,
How much?
right, or how to do that, or like, if I as a new mead maker that has never made mead before, look at K-Meta plus K-Sorbate, they don't even explain what that means,
No.
because like K is the periodic table of elements symbol for potassium.
Yeah.
If you know about this stuff, okay, yeah, no, okay, that makes sense. If this is all brand new to you, does that make sense? I doubt it.
Nope. And if you went to your local brew store, hey, K-Meta and K-Sorbite, yeah, they know exactly what they're giving you. If you go to anywhere else, they do not.
If I plug K Meta into Amazon, for example, does that return potassium metabisulfite?
Let's find out.
In the meantime, I'll talk about aging. Aging 1 to 6 months or more in parentheses. Cherry mead improves dramatically over time. Not wrong. Young, it's bright, tart, fruity. Aged, it's smooth, deeper cherry note, honey warmth, ruby red clarity. I mean, it's not wrong, but I don't know that it's all that. Just putting it into Google, K Meta.
The second link was actually for beer, wine, mead, cider brewing. Yeah.
On Homebrew Talk. Okay, well, it's not bad. But if we go put K Meta into Amazon.
Okay, go to Amazon. We get potassium bisulfite. Yeah,
All
it
right.
came up.
All right. So,
I'm impressed.
a potential hurdle. Fine. So, as far as our chat GPT response for just cherry mead, what grade do you give this?
D. They don't step it out well. They don't tell you all the things you need. They'll tell you, oh, you need to do this at this point, and they give you no indicator how to do any of that prior to. They didn't tell you when to kill these. They didn't tell you when to have, or how to use a hydrometer, or when to use a hydrometer until it was time to use the hydrometer.
Right. And
Never even mentioned the word hydrometer.
I was going to say this is probably like a C minus on my scale. It does give you the basic stuff, but it doesn't really give much in the way of explanation. The stuff that they're giving you is very bare bones. Is this useful enough to get a decent result? Maybe. Is there a lot more they could be doing, even on a simple beginner-friendly scale? I would think so.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So, next we ask DeepSeek, same question.
What if we added chocolate, cacao?
Well, do we want to go right to the
Oh yeah, that's right. Same thing. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm jumping far ahead. Go ahead.
So DeepSeek says, great choice. Here's a practical, scalable cherry mead recipe with a day-by-day schedule you can follow. This version uses cherry fruit for aroma and body with a clean honey-forward profile. It's geared towards a 1 gallon batch, 3.8 liters, but you can scale it up easily. Overview. Style. Traditional cherry mead honey wine with cherry fruit notes. Fermentation. Primary fermentation, then optional secondary for clarity and deeper cherry character. Target sweetness. Semi-dry to dry. Adjust target gravity to taste. Timeline. Roughly 6 to 8 weeks for a clean, drinkable mead, longer for depth. Assumptions. Volume. 1 gallon, 3.8 liters. Honey. 3 pounds, 1.36 kilograms. Water. Enough to reach a 1 gallon total. Cherries. 2.5 pounds. Pitted and crushed. Fresh or frozen. Yeast. Wine mead yeast with good attenuation and clean finish. Examples. Lavvan EC1118, White Labs WLP710, White Labs WLP711, or Y Yeast 4184. I'm going to stop here.
Yeah,
Again, that's not enough cherry. That's 2.5 pounds.
that's even less than the ChatGPT.
Now, White Labs, it's been a long time since I've used White Labs. They were Jackie's favorite when he was running Bacchus. I don't even know if they carry White Labs
Have
anymore.
not seen it.
Actually, they did not carry White Labs for a very long time. Y Yeast was the Jackie's favorite. And I don't know how much Y Yeast they still carry. I'm not sure what 4184 is, but the Lauvin, the one that we're used to using, is EC1118, which is flavor wise, it's going to ferment a lot, but it doesn't really add much as far as yeast character. So, nutrients. Yeast nutrient per package directions. Thanks.
Well, that's not helpful.
Optional Camden tablet, one tablet per gallon crushed and dissolved, wait 24 hours before pitching yeast. If you're using fresh cherries, this is, oh God, 4184 is the sweet mead.
Yeah. I looked up the Y yeast 4184 while Joe was talking there. That's why I really sound really quick there. It's for sweet meats.
4184, the sweet mead from Y Yeast. I hate their mead yeast. I have never had a good experience with this one. It to me was very prone to stalling, even with babying and nutrient and the degassing and stuff like that. I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Now the problem with this particular round of AI, what's the one we used here?
This is DeepSeek.
DeepSeek. Okay, DeepSeek. They didn't tell you what kind of nutrients, and that's kind of a problem because they're general, and general rule is like two, but you
Yeah.
can't go horribly wrong. And yeah, you can follow package instructions. That's not a problem, but give them a name.
So, Camden tablet. This has been mentioned where ChatGPT did not mention it. And if
Yeah.
you're using fresh fruit, it's not a bad idea because that'll, like we've talked about before, the skins of those cherries covered in natural yeast, bacteria, mold, all kinds of stuff. The microbiological world is not one you want to look into if you want to comfortably eat, unless your gag reflex can handle that,
Yeah,
yes.
it's a dangerous world.
But
Camden will take care of a lot of that.
It's just a tablet form of potassium metabisulfite. And so, yeah, you do have to wait. I would say wait 36 hours, not
Yeah.
24. But, this is.
But you have to wait for that countdown to finish the job and die, become inert.
More stuff. Optional acids, a pinch of acid blend or 1 teaspoon of lemon juice to balance. Optional adjuncts in secondary, vanilla bean, half, oak chips, one to two small chips. What? Or a splash of cherry juice.
That's not going to do anything. That much, that little bit of oak is not going to really do anything, even in a gallon.
Yeah, that's kind of like the 4 to 6 raisins in our ChatGPT example. Unless you want to see something floating in your mead for funsies, what?
That's kind of point. If you're going to add oak to anything, you're going to go in by ounce.
Equipment. 1 gallon, 3.8 liter fermentation vessel with an airlock. Sanitizer, no rinse preferred. Large pot for heating water. Fine mesh strainer or cheesecloth. Siphon or racking cane. Hydrometer, optional, or refractometer.
Not hydrometer, not optional. Refractometer, you can do with hydrometer.
Bottles with caps slash corks and a bottle filler. Temperature control, fermentation chamber, or temperature stable space. Calling that required while not calling.
Hydrometer required.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. My temperature control chamber in my house is either my living room or my basement, and it's controlled as per weather outside and heater air conditioner permits.
Right, yeah, no, in the winter months, my thermostat is set to 68. In the summer months, my thermostat is 74, except when Evergy decides that between 4 and 8 p.m. they need to charge us double, so I'll let it get to 80.
Yeah, but the point is,
And in the basement, it's generally fairly stable even in that time.
the bottom line is temperature stable is important, but you don't need any special apparatus for this
No.
if you don't
Optional
use it.
pH meter or strips.
I've never used pH strips or meters, so.
Meters are a pain in the ass. I find I always had to recalibrate mine to get accurate stuff. The strips, if I'm going to measure, are a little more accessible because they're stable. They don't need calibration all the damn time.
Yeah,
But I
I've never used them, and I do pretty well.
generally, I reach for my pH strips if I'm getting stalls or problems because that's when I see, I need to diagnose with acidity, really.
I've honestly never used either one, so I don't see as it's necessary.
Right. Detailed recipe, 1 gallon, 3.8 liters, honey, 3 pounds. Again, with the volume, stop. Or sorry, by weight. Weight or volume with honey is not right. But for a starter recipe, I guess fine. Water, enough to reach 1 gallon total. Cherries, 2.5 pounds. We talked about that's not enough. Yeast, one packet or vial of your chosen yeast. Yeast nutrient per package directions. Acid balance, 1 teaspoon lemon juice or 1 to 2 grams acid blend. Don't put that in primary.
No, that's a horrible idea.
Balance at the end when it's done.
Yeah.
Camden tablet optional.
When you do it at the beginning, it's really not going to affect a whole lot.
Camden tablet optional, 1 tablet per gallon. Pectic enzyme optional, 1/4 teaspoon.
No, not they need more.
Need more.
They need more.
At least a half a teaspoon, like the thing we said.
The directions say.
And that isn't necessarily enough. Secondary adjuncts optional. 1/2 vanilla bean split, 1 to 2 oak chips. 1 to 2 oak chips is nothing. Again, 1 to 2 tablespoons cherry juice, non-fermentable, preferred for back sweetening. Ew, non-fermentable cherry
what
juice.
What is non? I have never heard of non-fermentable cherry juice.
This did. And process step by step schedule.
Okay, first of all, let's go back to that cherry juice thing. Preferable for back sweetening means you're going to put it in after the yeast is dead for more cherry flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put it in for, and that's it. It should not be at this point.
Well, this is in the secondary adjuncts section.
Yeah.
But this is just basically giving us.
But if for non-fermentable, if your yeast is dead, it's not going to ferment either way.
Yeah. The organization here seems a little sus. Process, step-by-step schedule, 1 gallon. Day zero, preparation. Sanitize everything thoroughly. If using Camden, crush 1 tablet per gallon in 1/4 cup of water. Add to must and wait 24 hours before yeast. Prepare cherry must. Pit and lightly crush cherries to release juice. Must assembly. Heat a small amount of water and dissolve honey completely. Pour into sanitized fermenter, then top up with water to 1 gallon. Add crushed cherries to must. If using acid, add now. Hydrate yeast per package directions, pitch into the must. Optional, place cherry pulp in a sanitized mess bag for easier removal later. Temperature, aim for 65 to 72. Okay, so let's go through this little subsection. Camden tablet, why are we using a Camden tablet?
The only reason you use a Camden tablet is you want to sanitize something.
Right, and generally in this case, you don't need to use a Camden tablet if you're...
If you're getting ready to put it off,
if you're making it traditional, yeah, you're using that to get rid of the stuff on the cherry skins, and
sometimes not even that, you know.
Right. So adding that to the water before we add the cherries, which are the whole point,
is a horrible idea. I wouldn't do it.
We're topping up to 1 gallon before we add the crushed cherries to the must, as if the cherries aren't going to displace.
Yeah, a lot. Okay, and also, lightly crush cherries to release juice? No, freeze them.
Freeze them.
Mash the snot out of them.
Yeah. Skins are your friend as far as you're going to get some tannin out of them. They're not your friend as far as, like, getting the flavor through them.
Yeah.
They are not a permeable membrane nearly as much as just the inside flesh is.
Yeah, smash them, yes, but smash the heck out of them. And freeze them. Get as much of that juice flowing as you possibly can. Rupture all the cell membranes if you can.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Days 1 through 7, maintain steady temperature, monitor fermentation activity, gently swirl the fermenter every day for 2 hours to mix. Do not splash. If using a nutrient schedule, apply nutrients per package directions, typically within the first 48 to 72 hours. If you see vigorous krausen and activity, that's normal. If activity dies down, unusually quickly, recheck temperature and oxidization.
How in the heck would you know what that was?
How would you know what krausen is?
I don't know what krausen is. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
You know that the cloud of yeast and bubbles you get at the top of your airlock?
Yeah.
Or at the top of your fermenter?
Yeah.
That's krausen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never even knew that. I mean,
yeah, that's the term for that.
I just ignored it for the most part.
But I see all kinds of people asking questions on Facebook, Reddit, blah, 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 that are new mead makers or beer makers or whatever. Is this krausen or is this mold?
Mold is a film on the surface.
Generally, but it can have a shape, especially where the bubbles get trapped and it makes little.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
I haven't had that problem yet. I've dumped before that came up.
Yeah.
Became a thing.
Yeah. Well, optional. You can press a small sample to check gravity with hydrometer if you have one. Press the. This is not clear. What they're asking you to do. You need a thief.
You need a thief, and you need a vial, a test tube.
Right, or very least, just sanitize your thing and plunk it into your must. Although, if you've got krausen in there, that's going to throw it. You're probably not going to get a clear read on your level anyway. Days 7 through 14, gravity check, optional. Target gravity around 1010 to 1020 for semi-dry, lower for drier finishes.
That's fast. That's fast. If I get something to ferment in 14 days, if I don't use specific yeast for it,
They also don't tell us what our starting gravity should be.
Yeah, they didn't do that either. I forgot about that.
If gravity is dropping slowly, ensure temperature is stable. Consider a gentle stir to remobilize the yeast. You should be degassing.
Yeah, that's degassing, guys.
Phase 2, racking to secondary, day 14 to 21. Oh, this seems pretty fast.
Yeah.
When gravity is near target and fermentation is slowing, rack to a clean secondary fermenter to improve clarity and allow more cherry character to shine. In secondary, you can add a half of vanilla bean split in a sanitized bag. Add 1 to 2 oak chips in the sanitized bag. Add a splash of cherry juice, optional, non-fermentable.
I still don't know what non-fermentable cherry juice is. I cannot figure out what that is.
I don't know.
Cherries are very sweet by nature.
And have sugar in them. If it's not fermentable, I don't want to drink it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't know what that even tastes like.
Temperature, 65 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Continue aging in secondary for 4 to 8 weeks, tasting periodically. Phase 3, stabilization and back sweetening, optional. If you want a sweeter final product, stabilize to prevent further fermentation in bottles. Use potassium sorbate and Kanmen tablets as directed by product instructions. Back sweeten with honey syrup or a small honey syrup or a small amount of cherry juice, tasting as you go. Recheck gravity after stabilization to ensure stability before bottling.
Don't use cherry syrup. Do not use honey syrup. Do not use honey syrup. Never use honey syrup. Honey syrup is not honey.
Unless you're making it yourself by diluting it in water, in which case, just dilute it in your mead.
Yeah, dilute the meat. I mean, why add anything to your honey? Honey syrup, as a general rule, culinarily, is honey added to corn syrup. Do not dilute your honey. Use honey.
Yeah.
But also, I have a problem with the, we talked about the oak chips. We talked about the vanilla bean. And talked about the tasting periodically. And the temperature range is 65 to 70, which is not an unreasonable range. But you don't have to worry so much about that. As long as it's warm enough that you're comfortable enough, the yeast is doing its job.
Right. There are a few yeasts that we can talk about, like D47, for example, tends to like it a little on the colder side. So the winter months, it's fine. If you're getting into the height of summer, maybe choose a different yeast. If you're like me and you leave your thermostat a little high in the you know, mid-70s, it tends to like it at 68 or lower, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's fine if you have a temperature-specific yeast. For the 71B, or most yeast we use,
right?
Just let it do its job, guys.
There's a reason we use those.
And yeah.
As long as your temperature is stable, you're probably fine.
And if you're comfortable in that environment, at least to a degree, you're okay. You really are.
So, bottling and aging. Bottle when clear, at your desired dryness or sweetness. Carbonation in traditional mead is typically still. If you want to touch a spark, you can lightly prime with a small amount of sugar, but be cautious of high ABV. Okay, that's all kinds of wrong. You can try priming it, but with the ABV, you're probably not going to get a lot of carbonation out of this, and it's not a great idea to do that with no hydrometer, even to know how much sugar you're putting in
there. I mean, how many times have we told you hydrometers are not the option, guys?
Right, yeah. Tips and notes. Yeast selection is critical for alcohol tolerance and flavor. For straightforward, reliable results, EC1118 is a strong choice for 12 to 14% ABV. For higher ABV, you may need a more robust plan, e.g.
Which it will not give you.
Two-stage fermentation or a higher tolerance. There is not a higher tolerance yeast than EC1118.
No, that's top of the chain.
Well, I'm sorry. No, distillers have higher tolerance yeast, but the end result tastes like crap.
Okay, I believe you, but I've never found a higher tolerance yeast.
Even they don't ferment to that level. Usually they're fermenting in the 10 to 12% tops and then just distilling to the high ABV level.
Okay.
Honey variety affects aroma and body. Blended or orchard honey generally yields a smoother profile. Darker honeys can add depth.
Not incorrect.
Water quality matters. If your tap water is chlorinated, use filtered or bottled water.
Spring water. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Spring water.
Make sure the chlorine and chloramines are not there. You can use the Kanmen tablet to do that. You can.
But you need 36 hours after you put it in to let it finish its job.
Mm-hmm. And check your label for dechlorination. That's a different level than dealing with the bugums and stuff on your fruit skins. pH and acidity. Target pH is around 3.2 to 3.5 to improve stability and aroma.
I don't even care about pH, be honest.
That's not wrong. You want to keep it above 3. You want to keep it below 4, basically.
I believe that, but that's actually a fairly large range. And if I'm following my procedures, again, I've never used pH test for anything. And I've been, for the most part, okay.
Reasonably speaking, honey has acid in it. More acid than you would think just tasting honey. Your cherries have acid in them.
Mm-hmm.
Your If your yeast is bubbling away pretty nicely in primary, you're probably fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Sanitization is critical. Hey, we can agree to that.
Yeah, I completely. You've forgiven me. Contamination can ruin flavor is the quote in here, and that should be in the front of this entire chain.
That's day one, step one. Yeah. Yeah.
Not after phase four, not after tips and notes. Sanitation is critical. Even if forgiving me, contamination can ruin flavor, is the one of the first lines you should have in this recipe.
Chris, how do you grade DeepSeek?
Low C. I mean, they got more information. They talk about hydrometer. Categorically, a lot of their stuff is just wrong. I mean,
so
their oak chip ratio, their fruit ratio.
I'm going D on this one because There is more information, but there's more bad information, too.
Yeah, there's more bad. You're right. I'm still giving it a C-, but I don't like the fact that they give you information after it becomes relevant.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand you should read the entire recipe first. Gotcha. But once you start going, you're going to read the recipe in order, and that's when you're going to remember.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't like this.
So let's move on to Grok.
Grok.
Grok is a classic cherry mead, parentheses, Melomel recipe, 5-gallon batch this time instead of one.
This is where we're going to stop agreeing at this point. Now, first of all, 5-gallon, 19-liter batch, about 25 bottles. Okay, the math. However, everybody else gave us a 1-gallon recipe, and you can scale up on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I like that part better.
Realistically, we could tell Grok to say, hey, just give me a 1-gallon. We could tell ChatGPT, give me a 5-gallon. The math in this is very simple.
Yeah, the math is not hard, but the problem is their default was a 5-gallon.
Well, and as Jackie used to give me crap for all the time, it takes almost as much effort to make a 5-gallon as it does to make a 1-gallon. You get five times as much.
Yeah, but by the same token, making a 5-gallon over a 1-gallon when you're just starting means you're going to throw 5 gallons away rather than 1 gallon away.
Anyway, ingredients. Honey, 12 to 15 pounds. 12 pounds for semi-sweet. They give an approximate 10-10 final gravity, 15 pounds sweeter, 10-20 final gravity. Use a good raw or orange blossom honey. Avoid strong buckwheat unless you want that flavor.
Okay, not going to argue with that.
They're giving more information here, and it's not necessarily wrong.
Yeah, but rather than going by your pound by pound, same thing as Jeff and I do now. He always has done it. I learned to do it better. Use your odometer to figure out how sweet you want it.
How starting gravity. Final gravity.
Yeah. And the math works much more cleanly. Mm-hmm.
And it's repeatable easily.
Yeah.
Cherries, 20 to 25 pounds, 9 to 11 kilograms, fresh or frozen, sweet or tart cherries. More cherries equals deeper color and flavor. Tart Montmorency cherries give a classic bright taste.
I'm sorry, I was trying to interrupt there and I apologize. 4 to 5 pounds per gallon. I'm not going to yell a lot.
That seems about right to me.
That sounds about right.
And Montmorency is classically recommended. It is a tart cherry varietal. Our friend Ken likes the Charbec cherries that he's been
cultivating for his lifetime.
Yeah, and I have not gotten to try those, but Montmorency is generally the one recommended. So, okay, I'll give it that. Water, enough to bring a total volume to 5 gallons, top up after racking.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is not bad.
Yeast, Lalvin 71B, eat some malic acid, smooth tartness, or Lalvin D47, great fruit character, or QA23, or Eastley 1118 if you want it dry and strong.
None of that is wrong. As far as I can see, I mean, I have not used a few of those, but...
The way this is phrased, QA23 or Eastley 1118 if you want it dry and strong,
23 doesn't make it that strong, per se. It's not as robust.
That is not a dry and strong. I feel like this is one of those times where we need an Oxford comma, you know?
Okay.
It's something that separates this phrase, because it makes it sound like QA23 is going to make it dry and strong.
I read it with the Oxford comma.
I want to know why it recommends QA23 the same way it says 71B or D47.
QA23 is a completely legitimate yeast to use in a cherry meat.
It's fine, but, you know, it's not giving me the explanation. Anyway. Yeast nutrient. Go with Ferme to O or a staggered nutrient schedule. See below. Pectic enzyme. 2 to 3 teaspoons. Helps clear and extract more flavor. Then this is, in the half a teaspoon, a little more. Yeah, okay. Optional. 1 to 2 teaspoons. Potassium metabisulfite. Camden. If you're worried about wild yeast or oxidization later. Okay, let's see where they tell us where to put this.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment needed. A 6 to 7 gallon fermenter. Bucket or carboy. An airlock.
Sanitizer, star sand, or similar. Cool, fine. Yeah. Mesh bag, optional. Makes life easier. Yes,
that,
it does.
Actually, it says optional, but makes life easier in that parenthesis. That's excellent. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hydrometer is needed. I'm
it's the first one that said needed.
I'm adding a plus to the grading scale of Grok just based on this alone.
Yeah, just on saying hydrometer is a equipment needed item. Yeah, okay, well, good.
Whatever else, that's an added point right there. Step by step, crack the cherries. If fresh, wash, pit, optional but recommended, and freeze for 1 to 2 weeks. Freezing breaks cell walls equals better flavor and color extraction.
Not long. I wouldn't have to freeze it that long, in my opinion, but I'm not mad.
24 hours tops.
Yeah, 24 hours would be fine with me.
Thaw in primary fermenter or in a big mesh bag.
Again, not mad.
Yeah. Day zero, primary. Warm 3 to 4 gallons of non-chlorinated water to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Dissolve all the honey completely. Add the thawed cherries or put them in a mesh bag and submerge. Add pectic enzyme per instructions, usually 1 teaspoon per 5 gallons. Need more than that.
Need more than that. You need a lot more than that.
Top up with cool water to 5.5 gallons. Leave headspace. And they're saying 5.5 gallons, so you end with 5 gallons instead of start with 5 gallons. I kind of like that.
That's not horrible. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of impressed.
Take the original gravity. Yes.
Oh, wow. Somebody said it.
Original gravity should be around 1100 to 1125 with 13 to 14 pounds of honey. Okay.
I won't say because of 13 to 14 pounds of honey. I will say that the gravity should be around there. That's not bad.
Pitch rehydrated yeast when the must is below 80 degrees Fahrenheit, 27 degrees Celsius. Okay.
That's also accurate.
Nutrient schedule, staggered, SNA. Use a total of 12 to 15 grams for made or the equivalent. At 24 hours, one third a total. At 48 hours, one third. At one third sugar break, when gravity drops below one third, e.g.
1120 to 1080.
Right. Last one third. Degas and punch down for cap daily for the first 7 to 10 days.
We just said that. Every other one we had so far.
So far, this is a lot more.
And you can avoid it by having a mesh bag with weights.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to punch down for a cap. It's all right at the bottom.
Primary fermentation. Keep at 65 to 72 Fahrenheit, 18 to 22 Celsius, after 2 to 3 weeks, or when fermentation slows dramatically, press the cherries and or lift out the bag and squeeze gently. There's the perennial argument of to squeeze or not to squeeze.
I squeeze.
I am me too.
I squeeze.
I want the good stuff.
I put it in there. I want it back. I'm sorry. You know, squeeze.
Rack off the gross leaves into a clean carboy. Secondary, rack again after 1 to 2 months when it starts clearing. You can add 1 cap to tablet per gallon, optional, at this point if you want to stabilize early.
I don't know why you would, but you can. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do that personally.
You could do a lot of things. I'm not sure what the point of that is, but you're also not adding sorbate, so you're not stabilizing. You're just, like...
You're punching it down a little bit, but you're not killing off the yeast, per se.
Yeah, you're handicapping it.
Yeah. You're making it restart somewhat, but...
Bulk age 4 to 12 months. The longer, the better. Cherry mead really shines after 9 to 18 months. Take your word for it.
I'll take your word for that. Mine never makes it that long.
Bottling. When crystal clear and no more CO2 released for a month, bottle.
Released for a month? A month? That's an awful long time to wait for it to stop.
If you want still mead, back sweetened to taste with more honey. Dissolve in a little warm water and potassium sorbate, 1/2 teaspoon per gallon, plus sulfite to stabilize. Or still and bottle still and dry if you fermented to 1.00 or below. Approximate final stats with 13.5 pounds of honey plus 71 B, an ABV of 13 to 14%, a final gravity of 1005 or 1015, semi-sweet. Color, deep ruby red, gorgeous in the glass.
In parentheses. Well, it should be gorgeous. I'm sorry, it's red. It should look red.
Let's hope it should look nice. Tips for the best cherry mead. Tart cherries plus 71 Beast is a classic combo. Bright, almost lambic-like. You're not a beer drinker. I'm assuming
I don't know what lambic is.
Lambic is like a Belgian cherry beer.
Okay.
It's nice.
Okay.
Sweet cherries alone can taste like cough syrup. It's the first one's mentioned that. It's accurate.
Yeah.
Blend 70 to 30 tart to sweet if possible. Okay. Well, it's not... Terrible advice.
And if you need it more tart, acid blend at this point.
After back sweetening and flavoring right before bottling, yes.
Yeah, right before bottling, that's when you're going to add your acid. Not the front, in the back.
Don't skimp on fruit. 15 pounds is minimum. 25 is legendary.
Okay. I wouldn't put that 25 at legendary, but
no,
I'm not mad about it.
25 is
Pretty good.
That's 5 pounds a gallon.
You know, if you want legendary, make a no water cherry meat.
No, there you go. That's legendary.
That's legendary.
If there's no water in there, you cannot get more cherry in.
Oak chips or cubes, medium toast in secondary for 2 to 3 months. Add vanilla / cherry pie notes. Not wrong.
Cherry meat.
I don't know. Enjoy your cherry meat. It's one of the most rewarding melomels you can make. Let it age and you'll be blown away. Cheers. Cherry emoji.
Some and kind of emoji. Drink of
yeah.
Barrel drink. Something like a insulated cup. Whatever it is.
Right.
Coffee cup. Anyway, okay, I'll be honest. This was a lot more impressive than I wanted to be.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a B plus A minus, I think.
Yeah, B plus A minus. I will give it a B plus very definitely. The only thing I don't like about this recipe, per se, is they do not tell you how much oak to use.
Yep.
If you're gonna use oak. They give you no indicator of that whatsoever.
Give me at least a guideline, guys. I mean you've been giving me
you gave me really solid information up to that point for the most part. They talked about degassing, they talked about the nutrient schedule. I mean, it's really impressive, to be honest. I mean, I'm kind of impressed overall.
Yeah.
About Gronk on this one because they actually did a pretty good job.
All
and,
right.
But I mean, they went long on things like freezing your cherries.
Yeah.
And waiting until you start stabilizing a month before you start stabilizing.
Well, and they don't really mention the sorbate part of the stabilizing either.
Yeah. That's why I'm giving it a B plus because there's things you should do in there.
Yes. I think a B plus is very fair. Yes. This is the best we've seen so far for this first prompt.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I did not have high hopes for Gronk, to be honest. That was actually pretty good.
I did not have high hopes for AI in general. So.
Okay. That's fair too. But by the same token.
All right. Last for our first prompt, Claude, a cherry mead recipe, 1 gallon, ABV, 12 to 14%, time, 2 to 3 months minimum. Ingredients, 3 pounds of honey, light varieties like clover or orange blossom work well. 2 to 3 pounds tart cherries, fresh, frozen, or dried Montmorency cherries are excellent.
Dried?
Dried.
Dried? And not nearly enough.
I mean, maybe at dried, 2 to 3 pounds of dried cherries would be enough. But
when I added weird. Dried cherries to my strawberry, I had 800 grams that sucker. So don't give me 2 to 3 pounds of dry. No, that's not enough.
1 packet of wine yeast. Lalvin D47 or ECLN18 are recommended.
And I'll be honest, when they say a packet of wine yeast, anything over a quarter packet, the yeast will catch up. It's a growing... It will make more yeast. I use a whole packet simply because I don't want to hold a half a packet.
I want at least 2 grams per gallon, generally speaking. So I will use half a packet. Quarter packet is not enough in my case. It's a little too long. But yeah.
But it's going to catch up. Okay, guys?
So D47, again, likes colder temperatures. It does not like, you know, warm summer temperatures.
And EC1118 is simply if you want more alcohol in your mead.
Yeah. It's blows everything else right out the airlock.
Yep.
1 teaspoon yeast nutrient.
Not nearly enough. If you're going to break it up into 4 categories, that's a quarter or a third of a teaspoon each time. That's not enough.
1 teaspoon yeast energizer. Optional, but helpful. That's DAP.
Mm, yeah.
I'm not a DAP fan. There's a little DAP in Ferment K.
Let's see.
And to my way of thinking, that's enough.
Yeah. I would use a lot more yeast nutrient and call it a day.
Yeah. 1 gallon, equipment needed. 1 gallon glass carboy or fermentation vessel, airlocks and stopper, sanitizer, star sand or similar, large pot for heating water. Okay.
There is so much you're missing in that one. So much.
Instructions. Sanitize all equipment thoroughly. Prepare the must. Heat about half the water, not to boiling, and dissolve the honey completely. This creates your must. Let it cool to room temperature. Add cherries. If using fresh cherries, pit them first.
Good call.
Frozen cherries, yeah. Frozen cherries work great because freezing breaks down the cell walls. Accurate. Add cherries directly to your fermenter. Combine. Pour the honey water mixture over the cherries. Add more water to reach 1 gallon total. Leave some headspace. Okay, yeah. Not wrong. Pitch the yeast. Once the must is room temperature, 65 to 75 Fahrenheit, add yeast nutrient and sprinkle yeast on top. Attach airlock. I'd rather you dehydrate your yeast, but it's going to work probably. Primary fermentation. Let ferment for 2 to 3 weeks at room temperature. You'll see active bubbling. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Rack. After 2 to 3 weeks, siphon the meat off the cherries and sediment into a clean carboy. Leave the fruit behind.
Age. Let age for at least 2 to 3 months. Longer is better. 6+ months improves it significantly. Okay. Bottle. Once clear and fermentation is complete, bottle and enjoy.
That's giving a solid, this overall is giving me, I'm giving you a solid D, Claude, because you said all the, you said a lot of the parts, but you didn't give any details you really need. First of all, you didn't give it a hydrometer. We're going to say that again. There's no hydrometer.
You need a hydrometer. You need to measure that stuff. They also, you know, at least they include sanitizer.
Yeah.
And tell you to sanitize thoroughly. They don't tell you to stabilize.
No, they don't tell you to stabilize. Bottle. They don't tell you how or when to bottle. They don't tell you anything about, they say rack, but they don't tell you anything about that. Dude.
Leave the fruit behind. So tips. Tart cherries give a better flavor than sweet cherries. Accurate. Not really why, but okay. Accurate. You can add cherries in secondary fermentation instead for brighter flavor.
Or acid.
Case by case, yeah.
Or acid. Just amount of honey for dark sweetness and strength? No.
Well, how? Be patient. Mead improves dramatically with age.
Okay, Claude, you fail. We're not letting you...
Yeah, this is another D plus at best. This is not great.
No, yeah, I wouldn't give it a D. I give it a D, D minus.
I appreciate the brevity of this.
The brevity is nice. It's a one page.
It's quick. It's easy. It's not filling it with fluff.
It's also not giving you all the information you need.
No. So it's lacking in the crap. It's also lacking in the content.
They say siphon off the meat, but they don't tell you to get a siphon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there is a racking cane is your siphon. You need this. You know, what are you going to do? Pour it off? Give me a break. Chris, sprinkle yeast on top. Come on.
Yeah. Well, this is our first prompt fed to 4 different AIs.
Yeah.
We have 3 more prompts.
Yeah, we do. We got to get moving.
I think we need to, we're already at an hour 15.
That was just one round.
That
yeah.
was one. Now, guys, here's what I'm going to propose. The next prompt we did was slightly more complicated. We included, give me a chocolate cherry mead recipe.
Yeah.
And so
add cacao.
For anybody that wants to, I'm going to make a document. You can see our responses just copy pasted onto the document from these 3 prompts for cherry and for chocolate cherry. And you can see the results we got. I think after Christmas and New Year's, you should come back. We gave it some more complicated queries.
Yeah.
To see what we can do.
So this will be a part 2.
Right. We'll do a part 2 with our more complicated stuff after the new year. And that episode might run long too, but our Christmas episode might run long. So, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Chris, it's been fun and frustrating and...
Oh, my bottom thing so far is don't use AI. Please don't use AI. Don't listen to people like Jeff, me, any other person around you, you know, Bacchus and Barleycorn. Don't trust AI in this, because even the best one, which was actually Grok.
Surprised the hell out of me.
It really did. I mean, they gave me the best one, but it's still categorically false things you should not be doing in there at all.
As a content creator that likes to help people get started making mead and has several recipes for, hey, this is an easy way to start with that 8%, the 12% we published early this year. The whole, like, the information missing from even a decent, let's say decent source, Gronk.
Gronk was decent.
There is still enough that makes me say, hey, get somebody that knows what they're doing to look this over and point out these glaring things.
And I'll say it right now, if you run an actually good read recipe with scheduling of what you should do and how you should treat things, at the very least, if you're not going to listen to what we've done in the past, talk to Bacchus and Barleycorn. Mm-hmm. Let them send you an experienced human-made recipe.
Yeah. Now, I have not been outward about this before, but as content creators, I take pride in the fact that nothing we do here prior to this episode has been created by AI.
Yeah, I love the fact.
We are going to continue. Obviously, there will be a part two to this, but beyond that, there is nothing on this podcast that is created by or using AI, including the editing. I've seen a number of tools that apparently will do like a sweep through a file and remove all the little pauses and stuff, and that would cut my editing time in half, probably. But A, I don't trust it to do it that accurately and like not move stuff that I want to leave in, and B, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Hey guys, honestly, me making is an art. Treat it like one. This is not a science thing. It has science involved, but it's an art. Let's treat it like that.
So here's the question that I want to end with so far, based on the cherry only prompt we've seen so far. Does AI save you time versus just getting a recipe online?
It will save you time if you want to make mistakes, in my opinion. If you want to make all the mistakes and learn the hard way, yeah, absolutely. It'll save you all that. If you want to make a good read recipe from out of the gate, no, I would not do it.
I would, very at the very least, you know, find a good source for a cherry mead recipe. If you want to get cherry mead, or find a good mead for starting recipe. We have great recipes.
Yeah.
We don't have a basic cherry mead. Maybe we should change that.
You know, I'll one up you. Let's take our basic mead recipe, traditional mead.
Mm-hmm.
Add cherries.
It's really all you need to do.
That's all you really need to do. It's not, this is, we're not making rocket science here, guys. We're, it's
4 to 5 pounds of cherries, maybe more. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would add 4.5 to 5 pounds of cherries per gallon. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm, if it's a juice, I'd add 16 ounces or more of cherry juice or concentrate.
Hold on to some so you can back sweeten or exactly. Whatever flavor later. Yeah.
But bottom line is,
the reason we have the 8%, the 12%, the 16% is so that you have a base to work with and you can add stuff later.
And base is all you need. I did this in almost every part of my life. When I taught theatrical sword fighting, the basics always work. In meat making, the basic mead will always work. Mm-hmm. If you just have a good solid base of meat, add whatever flavor you want and run. So AI, no. I mean, it has its place in whatever its place is. I can't tell you what that is. But it's not art. And that's not where we are.
And maybe it does. I will concede that maybe it can be used to automate some of the more, what I want to say, repeatable, easy to do tasks, but I don't think making a mead recipe is one of those. I want the art part of my brain involved even in the start of thinking, especially when it's like, hey, what other flavors besides cherry go into this?
Yeah. Episode, we talked about tamarind, which we never talked about before.
And it was such a fun thing to talk about.
And, you know, if I asked for a tamarind mead recipe, I'd get the exact same thing I just printed out for that cherry mead.
Mm-hmm.
With tamarind,
I don't know if I would go that heavy on tamarind. Tamarind is strong, but it was fun.
But the point is, they would say that because
mm-hmm.
you know the computer doesn't know, and you know we are humans with discretionary ability.
Realistically, what AI knows is that it has swarmed the internet and found all of the mead recipes published there, and kind of glommed it together. Based on its combination of stuff it's seen. The AI has never tasted cherry. It does not know what a tart cherry versus a sweet cherry tastes like.
And bottom line is, it never will. And we're doing this, guys, how many times have we said it? We're doing this because it tastes good. We want to give friends, family, enjoy our own.
So, Chris, I was not expecting this to be that fruitful of a topic.
I don't know.
We will get back to this in the new year.
Yeah, we will.
With more... I'm proud of some of the weird stuff we had it come up with.
Yeah,
me too. We have more fun stuff in the meantime planned for Christmas and New Year. So it's going to be a few weeks before you hear more about us complaining about AI, old man.
But I'm the old man here, and
like I'm not.
I like the process of thinking things through and creating on my own. I do it in almost everything I do. AI is not something I appreciate. Can it help automate things that are repetitious? Sure, go for it. Other than that, I don't need it. So stick with us here. Like Jeff said, we'll come back, we'll circle back, talk about the cherry chocolate I mentioned earlier and the other things we did. And
maybe we'll do the cherry chocolate as a a kind of, I'm going to put the cherry and the cherry chocolate on the website so people can look at our results. Maybe we'll do a brief on the cherry chocolate, but it's the more complicated stuff that we asked for it later that I'm more excited to talk about.
And actually, the last one is going to be so much more fun for me
Yes.
because this is, oh my God, if you don't give information to AI, it's stupid funny.
Well, and Gronk surprised me. Grok surprised me
Grok.
that it learns with you and figures out what you want.
And to be honest, I've never used it
Me
ever, and
either.
you've only used it that one time. And actually, the one I subscribed to, the ones I subscribed to, I killed the applications, I killed the subscription last night after we did this. So, I'm done with
Yeah,
it.
it's utility. Spoiler for part two, I guess. I'm not seeing it, but it was amusing and it's worth talking about. So, maybe in future versions, not that I want to give it another try at some point, but
If I need to pay for another day, I'll pay for another day, but I don't see it happening.
we'll figure this out. Anyway, guys, we have been rambling for the better part of 10 minutes when I already said we were running at 115. So,
Well, yeah.
Chris, we need to get out of here. Have a good day.
Take care, guys. Happy meeting.